the complete works of William Shakespeare, as told by... Tonight's episode, Julius Caesar. Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. The tragedy of Julius Caesar, sometimes called the life and death of Julius Caesar, written probably 1599, 1600, 1601, somewhere in there. Height of anxiety over succession because Queen Elizabeth is elderly, hasn't named a successor. A lot of people worried about that. Some of the themes are addressed in Julius Caesar as a result. Opens with people celebrating the return of Caesar and Morales and Flavius talking about, you know, how fickle the people are. I can't believe these you people are validating and Caesar when you were just recently cheering on Pompey and he's just killed Pompey. What are you guys doing? And that sort of sets the tone, really, of the piece as a whole, the fickle nature of people and how once popular and you can turn the people's attention fairly easily through acts and through machinations. It's really a story about Brutus, who is a noble Roman, truly a noble Roman, who gets caught up in a conspiracy because several senators and leaders of Rome are concerned that Caesar is going to name himself king and emperor and that it's going to destroy Rome. And they sort of convince Brutus to go in with them. And Brutus is willing to do it not because he dislikes Caesar, but because he is worried about Rome, about the Republic, and feels that Caesar's ambition is going to be what will destroy Rome, and so they have to get rid of Caesar. It's not an easy thing for Brutus to do, though. It's a really difficult decision for him, and despite Cassius's pushing, actually because of his pushing, the fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves, that we are underlings, and that sort of thing. That sort of thing is not a useful insight in that quote at all, is it? He agrees, ultimately, Brutus does. And they, on the Ides of March, which a soothsayer had warned Caesar not to to beware, the conspirators plot to get Caesar to the Senate, where they will assassinate him. And Caesar's wife, Calpurnia, convinces him not to go because of the dark nightmares that she's had, the dark portents. And yet they are able to flatter Caesar into going to the Senate anyway. They go to the Senate, and Casca is the first one to stab him, and then all the conspirators eventually do. It's a setup, and then finally Brutus does, which leads to the famous Et tu, Brute, and that's what actually kills Caesar. It carries on from there, where Antony comes, and Brutus had already said that they weren't going to kill Mark Antony, Caesar's right-hand man, and main supporter guy, despite the conspirators' desire to do so, because Brutus said, you know, we're not butchers. This is for the good of Rome. We're going to show that we're, you know, good men doing this for the good of Rome, and we don't need to kill everybody to do that. Everybody will fall in line when they see that this was the best thing for Rome, which is it's a bad plan, Brutus. His line of let us be sacrificers but not butchers will come back to haunt him, because Mark Antony, pretty smart guy, knows how to work the people. And he convinces Brutus to let him speak at the funeral. This is another mistake, in that Brutus says, well, that's fine. You know, you can't say anything bad about us. And Antony says, well, of course I won't. Cassius is not happy about that. He thinks this is a bad plan. It's not a good idea. He tries to talk to Brutus out of it. He says... you know not what you do. Do not consent that Antony speak in his funeral. Know you how much the people may be moved by that which he will utter. Brutus says, don't worry about it. I got it under control. He'll speak first, and then Antony can speak. He'll make sure everything's under control. They go to the forum, and they give the speeches. And Brutus' speech is fine. It talks about ambition as being that he loved Caesar. It was not that he loved Caesar less, but that he loved Rome more, and that the reason for his death was ambition. That Caesar was ambitious, and that's why he had to die, for the good of Rome, for the good of the Republic. It's an okay speech. It's fine. It's good enough. The citizens seem appeased by it, though they were, you know, I mean, they're fickle. And so they think, oh, well, yeah, see, you know, Brutus, you should be Caesar. That's great. That makes sense. You're an honorable man. Absolutely. Antony, who previously in a soliloquy talks about convincing the people to cry havoc and let slip the dogs of war, gets up to speak, and Brutus says, well, listen to him. I'm leaving, but, you know, he's trying to demonstrate that it was a good thing that they had done that and that they're trying to unite everybody then again by having Antony speak and him leaving. And he tells the people, listen to Antony, it's going to be fine. And Antony does his speech, which is the friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. He does this constant refrain that Brutus says he was ambitious and Brutus is an honorable man. Keeps coming back to this idea that Brutus is an honorable man. And he lays it out in such a way that Caesar, who was offered a crown 3 times and refused it, doesn't sound ambitious to Antony, but Brutus says he is, and Brutus is an honorable man. It's a nice refrain. It's really well put together. It's a heck of a speech. Very dramatic. Antony knows what he's doing on the drama and the people. He totally gets this people spinning on his side, and as his final twist, he reveals that he reveals Caesar's will that says that the people will inherit these parts of Rome and they get this money, and he's really gotten them foaming at the mouth in this final pièce de résistance of this turning of the people. Is he shows Caesar's body with the 33 wounds, and it just, the people are incensed and they go rampaging through Rome, seeking more or less just vengeance on anybody, and mainly conspirators, but they ultimately will kill the wrong Cinna. They'll kill Cinna the poet and not the conspirator simply because he has the same name. I mean, that's how incensed and mob-like the mob is. I guess that's somewhat of a syllogism, but that's fine. Antony says at one point, now let it work, mischief, thou art afoot. Take thou what course thou wilt. And he just lets him go. He and Octavius, Caesar's heir, sort of become two parts of the triumvirate with a third guy who is just an ass. And by that, I mean he really is just viewed as an ass by Antony and isn't worth even talking about. They're just going to use him for whatever. It's a civil war, and they're going to go hunt down the conspirators and get them. The conspirators are having a little bit of a tough time because they've fled Rome, and it's not looking great for them. Cassius and his men have had to sort of deal with some corruption to try and get things going. Brutus has refused to do any kind of corruption where they take bribes or take payments to sort of get the army in check. And Brutus is furious with Cassius, and they have this argument. But Brutus is smart on the battlefield and says, we can't argue in front of the men. You want to talk to me, you talk to me in my tent, and we'll sort this out. And Brutus' point is that you can't be honorable men and deal with corruption. What we did was right and just. We just need to fight on that basis. He and Cassius sort of come to an understanding and seem in pretty good shape. It's also revealed at this point that Brutus' wife, Portia, has killed herself. And everyone says, my God, that's harder than anything. We wouldn't be able to deal with that. And Brutus' response is, well, to our work alive. And he just is, you know, despite being broken up about it, the guy's a soldier. He's a guy who's doing what he thinks is right. And though he has his doubts, I mean, he's trying to do right by his soldiers. There's a tide in the affairs of men, which, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune. Omitted all the voyage of their life, is bound in shallows and in miseries. On such a full sea are we now afloat, and we must take the current when it serves or lose our ventures. And as a result of this statement, Brutus says, we got to take the fight to them. We can't wait here, though that, you know, you think that's a good idea. It's not. We got to go and fight and get this done. They go and do the fight with Antony, and Cassius misunderstands what's happening and ultimately kills himself because he thinks they're losing, or his forces have just been overrun when he sent one of his guys to find out what the case was. Actually, it was Brutus's men telling him that Brutus's side had won, Antony's side had won, and then so that means that it was sort of tied. But at that point, Cassius has already killed himself, and Brutus has come and is distraught about this. And at one point decides that, okay, we're gonna have to fight again. I mean, today it's only 3 o'clock. We're gonna fight again. They go and fight again, and they're just overrun. Brutus's forces are just devastated, and Brutus has a melancholy moment with his servants where he is trying to get them to hold his sword while he runs on it, because he will not be marched into Rome as a traitor. He ultimately convinces one of them to do it. It's I'm blanking on who ultimately agrees to do it. I think it's Volumnius. No. I'm sorry, it's Strato. Strato holds the sword for him as he runs on it and kills himself. Anthony and Octavius arrive to find Brutus dead, and Anthony has the famous line, "This was the noblest Roman of them all. All the conspirators, save only he, did that they did in envy of great Caesar. He only, in a general honest thought and common good to all, made one of them. His life was gentle, and the elements so mixed in him that nature might stand up and say to all the world, this was a man." And that's, I mean, it actually, that's sort of what the play is about, is you stand up on your ideals, and at times, you misread the situation. Brutus is a good soldier, he's just not a very good politician, and the realities of war and peace are two totally different realities. Caesar has a great line that says, "Cowards die many times before their deaths. The valiant never taste of death but once." There's a lot of that sort of honor, patriotism, and power that plays into this particular one. It is a great political play. It is a great action play. It's a fascinating look at the difference between government and war, military and politics, and it's a really, really good play. And I know that's not a great insightful comment, but I remember reading it in high school, and even then I kind of knew it was a good play, even though it's one of those sacrificial ones that you give to the kids to sort of make them appreciate Shakespeare. But it's a good one. The Complete Works of William Shakespeare, as told by me, Kevin Hanna.